called to the August 22nd Finance and Governance Committee. I'm Deshaun Quinn, the chair of the Finance Committee. I'm joined by fellow council members, Kate Kroller and Cynthia Delstrom Johnson. There's three items, but they're all, most of them are robust. So I'm going to get started with the business agenda. Item 1A.
Joel Bushy, Economy Officer. So what I have before you is a refinance of our city's fleet of copiers. Trying to refinance and push them out for additional 3 years because they have not had much use. And if we got new copiers, it would be more expensive. And we won't be getting any additional capability. So save money, keep the printers we have, and continue working with city staff to reduce the printer fleet, to reduce costs overall. Because we have seen less printing over the last 2 years, for sure. The financial impact of this is 16 copiers. The total 3-year term cost is $107,000. We'll be saving about $26,000 over the 3-year term. We got some comparisons underneath that. We don't include the fire department because of potential changes. But it's cost savings. So what I'm asking for you is to move this on to the consent agenda on September 12th. Are there any questions on this item?
So let's talk about the fire department one more time. You're not including the fire department because it won't be in the May annual budget because of the contract?
Yeah, potentially. So if we're working currently with the new organization that we'll be partnering with, those printers are going to come to term in 2023. So they need to make a decision. Do you want to use Skiers? What do you use within your environment to keep simplicity and, what's your standard model? So we'll leave that to them. If they would like to use the carrier printers, they could refinance them, they could buy them out, or we can just return them and they can go Xerox or something else if that's their preference.
So I think I know the argument for leasing. I think it's actually good in this particular downturn of use.
Yeah.
But I do, for the sake of the record, want to say CTAC Council made a big deal out of buying theirs instead of leasing. And they felt that they realized cost savings over time. I don't know if that's true. So could you at least comment on why we choose this way versus the other way for the city to go?
Well, why we choose leasing in a city of Tupelo, especially for glass shops, the thing, sometimes you keep things a little bit too long, and then you spend more time trying to keep them operational as opposed to leasing them and having under a maintenance agreement. So from a productivity standpoint, I think leasing is the better option. That these are under warranty. If there's a problem, someone from EBM is going to come out and repair glass or give a air replacement.
Those services quick.
Yeah.
We just thought I'd put that out in the public. Thank you.
Yeah.
Great. I actually don't have any questions. I thought Councilmember Crowley's questions were along the same that I would ask is that alternative of purchase versus lease. And so this looks good to me.
Yes, well, I'm comfortable moving this forward. I think the memo on the presentation answered my question. Are you comfortable moving the forward to the consent?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
I got notice that they're only seeing a black screen.
Oh.
This could be more.
Sorry, did I say you?
It's only still.
And Laurel moves her cursor over the screen, and sometimes it blacks out.
So hang on. Naisha, are you able to see the screen?
I am not. I do see, it looks like Tony may be on there twice, but I see faces and then another Tony Cullerton has a black screen.
And now we're not hearing anything.
Yes, we put it on mute until we get the square away.
Thank you.
Just apologize for the interruption. We had some technical difficulties, and we're back on the agenda. Thank you for your patience. And we are now on agenda item 1B, the monthly general fund update.
Hey, Tony Cullerton, Deputy Finance Director, and I'm going to give the June general fund expense report. So, looking from our packet, page 13, the general fund department expenses, excluding department 20s, came in at about 30.75 million through June. This is 19,000 over the allocated budget of 30.73 million. Department 20, which is transfers to other funds, total 2.62 million, which is 2.2 million less than the allocated budget. So when we combine the general fund with department 20, in total, the general fund reported expenditures of 33.36 million, which is 44, almost 45% of the annual budget at the completion of 50% of the year. As I read through this, when I come back in July to present, this report that we're looking at on the top of page 13 will have a subtotal. So we'll see departments 0 through 16, subtotal, department 20, grand total, for ease of reporting going forward. So while the general fund is currently tracking expenditures below year to date, 50%, there are a few departments that came in at higher than 50%. So I want to just speak to those briefly. So we're talking about finance, talking about fire, parks and maintenance, and street maintenance. And where you see those on the top of page 13, under percent expended, I'm looking at the departments that are greater than 50%. So that's why we see those much more. So speaking to finance, they came in at 52.44%. So 2.44% above the annual budget. That is due to an ERP, the new ERP that we're doing, a milestone payment that we paid. I think we thought the milestone payment was going to come in July. We met that milestone early, so we paid it in June. So that's throwing that a little bit above. Fire came in at 1.6% above. So 51.63% at the end of June. That 1.63% is directly related to year-to-date over time. And then parks maintenance came in at 51.04%. So that 1.04% is due to an increase in professional services, that category. And when I looked at the professional services this year compared to last year at this time, it is specifically due to security and safety billings. So security at the parks was caused that. And the street maintenance was kind of interesting. Although it's a large amount, almost 61% of the annual budget. When I looked at what street maintenance spent January through June in 2022 compared to January through June 2021, it's an increase of less than $200. So spending habits this year compared to last year are very similar. So we see that large amount, but it's really a de minimis amount.
Small budget, yeah.
And so we are right in there in the month of June, overall 44, let's just call it 45% versus 50. So that's close. We're seeing some departments slightly over 2.44%, 1.63%. So what I'm saying is we are on track to make budget. And as of June, we are on track. But as you can see, it's pretty tight. It's very tight. And so we are monitoring closely, and we're identifying what those expenses are that put us over. And so I'm going to wrap up and say that we'll continue to monitor this and come back. Looking at our calendar ahead, I do see that we're on the calendar every month now to come back to give you a monthly report. So we'll be here July, September, October, November to continue with the updates. So let's open up for questions.
Sure. Let's start with Councilmember De La Sierra.
Um, Based on, thank you for your report, first of all. Like, really great in walking through the things that we might already have questions about, going through every department that's been over and explaining why. You know, just, first of all, good, good update. My question is, since it is running a little tight, is the city making any sort of changes now to kind of check in with the departments and say, hey, guys, you know, like, we need you to stick to budget. Like, we're pretty tight here. There's not really any wiggle room. Are there any changes based on that? Or is this sort of just a normal, the normal, this is like normal course, basically?
The short answer is both. Let me say a little bit more. So, yes, this is normal course that we present like this. But right now, if we're going through the budget, the biennial budget. So we are talking to departments regularly about budget looking forward. But as we're talking about forecasting, we're basing those forecasts on right now, today. Unfortunately, with the pandemic, there was a time when we could use historical data. And for us that have been in the business for, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, what we recognize is that revenues and expenses should trend about the same, you know, with 3 to 5%. However, with the pandemic, it kind of threw it out. So we are talking with departments regularly, not specifically because we're saying, hey, you're almost close to being budget, but we're just having an ongoing dialogue about budget and about positions and how the spending contributes to where they are. So we are pleased that we are at this 45%. We're pleased that most of the departments are hovering right around 50%. But we are watching it, and departments are well aware of the tight budgets that we have.
Thank you.
I'd like you to review what's on page 14 as well. And my natural inclination is look at the percent change from 2021. So 2020 to 21, 21 to 22.
Yeah.
And just look for the group brackets. A big one is professional development. Another one is rentals.
Yeah, so professional development, I think, just so I'm sure we're talking about the same thing, 21.40%, is that what you're seeing on the far right?
Mm-hmm.
Good. So one of the differences is that when I look at 2021 to 2022, it's 203,000 versus 214,000, and that hasn't changed. So, no, it's not. I was on communications. I apologize. It's 179 in 2022 versus 228 in 2021. So that is going to be a direct relationship to a reduction in budget. You know, we look for things to cut that are not service impacting. You know, that's not the first place to look, service impacting, but as often is the case with budget cuts, training and development is one of the first to go.
So just in summary, before you go through every one of these lines, these reflect changes in cuts and budget that we have. I'm just trying to say, what is the general fund chart telling us on page 14?
Yeah, and I guess I want to say it reflects changes in spending, to say it better. And so what the chart says on page 14, I like to call them on the far right, 2021 versus 2022, and the percent. It shows either we've increased spending or decreased spending. Extra labor, look at that, 490% from last year versus this year. To speak to that, what I'm looking at is $163,000 versus $27,000. ARPA funding would be the case for that. We're now bringing back programs. We're now providing more services where last year we were really, I don't want to say dead in the water, but boy, it was tough.
Nice. Okay.
And so, I think what I'd like to do is I'll answer any specific questions, but I guess I'm thinking on a go-forward basis, if things are, you know, let's say greater than 10% or a certain dollar amount, I would drill into those and give specifics.
Okay.
But again, if you have something specific that you want to hear, there's things that are tricky. So on that page, you look at pensions, the left, FICA, pension PERS, insurance, those are things that are more difficult to.
They're mandatory anyway, so it is what it is.
It is what it is. That is not a result of someone spending, buying, going over on a budget. Those are things. So, you know, a lot of the stuff on the salaries and benefits, overtime, extra labor are things that we, you know, try and manage. But a lot of that from FICA down is going to be very difficult.
Small question. It's a small amount of money, but I'm just looking at unemployment where you're allocated in your annual is zero in both years, and I'm looking at money that's there. So 20.2 anyway. And so when we made our budget, we said there would be zero unemployment, I guess, is what this means. And that's not realistic ever.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Ask and answer.
So
just want to make sure.
It is possible that those numbers did not pull through running the report.
Okay.
Just a little side note to give you some history. With the new ERP system, we are creating new reporting.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what we have done, where we are, is we are at a point now where, honestly, we are clicking three buttons and it pulls this report together.
Right.
So we have a few things that we need to tweak. One was that subtotal that I didn't see on the first report. For sure that will be there next month. And the other is just to ensure everything's being pulled in. You know, for example, I can see a blank space under unemployment, under the expense expended. Even if it was blank, you know, we want to see a line there. We want to see something to note that it wasn't dismissed. So we are still tweaking it, and those will be resolved.
So zeros will probably replace with numbers or blanks or little dashes.
Yeah, so to the left under the budget, those will be replaced with dollars, because I agree with you. There is unemployment dollars.
I'm done asking questions. I accept where you're at.
Okay, good job on the rapid fire questions, and specifically the fact that we can drill down and kind of highlight the anomalies. Is that's the process of wrapping our minds around our budget numbers and the structure. So just a couple of quick things come up for me, just in addition to what everyone else is saying. One takeaway is that some of it is the process of accounting that can contribute to the percentages, right? And how we budget over time. As you said, finance got in early and no good deed goes unpunished. So you have a higher percentage. So that's more on the lower end. Now, a more difficult and maybe challenging conversation is budgets also reflect real life events on the ground. And so when you talk a little bit about kind of police and fire and specifically parks, the new normal is more security to protect the safety of the residents participating. And I want to balance that with us saying, hey, make sure everybody's on budget. But I think it's important to highlight those pieces to say, you see what I see, in order to have a safer park. Just for people doing the fundamental things that they would do in any other time, but because of the pandemic, it just requires us to have more diligence and more structure. And as we think about the budget going forward, right, and part of this conversation, so as you spoke to continuing to kind of grasp these numbers, and as Kate, as you said, like making what looks complicated a little simpler to understand, I think we on the finance committee are going to continue to do that for everybody. But also for finance, just like when those things are clearly in your face, we might need to speak to it so we can have context. Because, I mean, if you just, it costs something. If people are saying they're in the park and they're scared or there's an issue, it costs something if people are wholesale just walking out with retail. And people can say that's protecting material things, but there are real people in those stores when those things happen and they get scared. And so there's this piece of quality of life that factors in to maintain that social contract that we all have of whether that there is, you know, look, I'm not going to be breaking into your house, I'm going to break into my house. And all those things cost money. So this is a very robust conversation. And I assume this committee, we're going to have more. And so if we can find those ways to bring out that transparency and those realizations so that the broader community can understand the numbers that we're looking at, it's great. one high level. And sometimes this can happen. But the notion that both can do more with less in a time when there are shortages and people are doing more with less time to be with their families. So they're putting overtime, and that's also a consideration as we look at these numbers. And so as we look at overtime and other things, is that, honestly, is that sustainable? Is this reflective of a year that we say, oh yeah, we can be more or less? Or is it we're gonna really burn people out? So I just wanted to apply that. Do you want to?
In addition to that, we'll see some budgets that are under budget due to understaffing positions that have been filled. You know, I look at DCD for an example of that. So kind of twofold. One is the overtime that we see usually with police and fire. And then there's understaffing that shows under budget. So, yeah, it's a challenging time right now getting that proper staffing mix. And as we add more services, bring services back, then staffing needs to come back to them. They're obviously one of those programs.
So that is also our responsibility for thinking about what folks are not staffed. We have to like look at the number and be like, okay, but it's also what's in that?
So just to drill down on security and parks, in no uncertain terms, the NFI continues that we need security and parks. And the question I have, and kind of looking at David as I ask is, are we being smart with our security? I'm not completely clear which parks, well, I'm on the parks committee, which parks are getting the security. But I did do a little drop-in walk around with residents and other people yesterday in Allentown. And literally, people who live across the street from the park and name which vehicles coming in and out of there or repeat and what they're doing. And that's we talked about financing cameras there. I continue to repeat the state now allows us to put traffic cameras next to parks. I'd like us to start considering it based on the experience I sat through yesterday, considering it a second time. And third, if we think we've got a certain park kind of going pretty well, maybe it's time to move the security over to Cadiga Park. Maybe it's time to move it around or to make it not predictable. I do want to say, to the credit of law enforcement, State County Police and Washington State Patrol have actually gone through Cadiga Park, and people tend to disappear when they park there for a month, right? And I know that our police have done brawl bots. But I'm wondering at this point, you know, we sat and watched people and how late they were there, and the sun was clearly down and they were still there and they weren't families having picnics. Mm-hmm. And it's very obvious what activities are going on. So maybe it's time to say, hey, let's surprise them. On Tuesdays and Thursdays we're here, and on Mondays and Wednesdays we're there. I don't know, because the price of security is not going to go down. But mm-hmm. under the Pareto's Law, it'd be nice if we were addressing 80% of the problem. Like kind of moving around and keeping them guessing. I don't know what that means in our contract or anything else, mm-hmm. but you know that's one way for us to consider alternatives. I'm in no way an expert on how to allocate security in parks. We have 27 of them. I understand it's an issue, but if we're going to pay that money, let's find a way to spread the security if we can.
So, I think that's a good topic in this, and so as when parks probably come forward, like that's an answer that, or that's a question that they can answer because it came up in this space. It was a budget point, so it'd be good to get that perspective. And then there's a more holistic one, I think, what you're asking, David, like those considerations. So it's a reasonable question for sure.
When I should not just point it to one park, if I say Foster Park and the noise.
Yeah, no, I agree.
If they're there for part of the day and can see what's going on and then move on to the next park, great. But at least people don't know. People are paying attention now.
All right. That's all you have?
Yes.
All right. Move on to budget item 1C with Ms. Fort Brooks. How are you?
Good evening. I'm doing good. How are you?
Floor is yours.
All right. Well, thank you. Good evening. Nyesha Fort Brooks, Community Engagement Manager with the Administrative Services, and I'm here with Tony Culverton, Deputy Finance Director. We are here this evening to brief you, Council members, on the budget outreach overview and the feedback process for the 2023-2024 biennial budget. In front of you, you will find the budget outreach packet. Please refer to page 19 as a reference of the biennial budget outreach plan that Tony and I have been using to guide us in this work. We've been actively engaged with a series of summer events, and we've been effective engaging with Tukwila's diverse community by meeting them where they're at, and that's in the community. The most effective outreach tool during this process has been the Service Priorities and Revenue Boards. They've been translated into Spanish, Somali, and Vietnamese. Council members, please refer to page 29 in the packet to review the community responses. It's the reflection of the boards. What you have in front of you is just a snapshot of the budget's outreach efforts prior to August 7th. Tony and I will continue to do outreach for the remaining of the summer. Additional feedback did come through the Balancing Act, the online survey tool, and the city's online survey tool, which mirrors the Service Priorities and Revenue Boards. All these engagement efforts are featured on the city's website, including offering the traditional methods of emailing and calling. So I'm just going to pause for a moment to see if there are any questions before Tony goes next.
I was at the See You in the Park event and saw this in action, thought it was really, really effective. I see on some charts there's more dots than others. Can you tell us why? Some have greater response than others.
Tony, you want to take it away?
Sure. Okay. So I'll continue the conversation. I'll answer that question, and then I'll say a little bit more. Some reason why some dots have more than others is because they're in different languages. So English is the predominant dot layer. So I'm going to go just a little, continue with what Nyesha said. She did a good job in summarizing this. Our Balancing Act tool, we demonstrated that to all the different commissions. We went to every meeting. It's probably listed in here, the commissions we went to. Additionally, our vision was to bring iPads to the sea with the park events, farmers markets, and also get feedback that way. What we found with that is that Balancing Act tool, it's a tool that requires you to think. And so to have someone one-on-one and walk them through how to use the tool, as well as then for them to think about reducing revenues, increasing revenues, reading the information bubbles on fire, police, finance, on how the change of services, that process, you know, is going to take about 10 minutes to get through, to talk them through it, to work them through it. And then when they get to the end, they're not able to submit the survey because they haven't balanced the budget. That's what they do. And so by that time, they're frustrated. They're like, okay, just forget it. And so that was some lessons learned, but it was only one aspect of the outreach that we did. One of the dot board that Nyesha was speaking to was very effective. It allowed people to give feedback without having to, you know, question it, give additional information. They could just think, hey, we want more police, we want more fire, and that sort of thing. And so to wrap up with the Balancing Act, it was difficult to extract clear data. It just came as a CSV. It was not real clear. So what I'm speaking to now is, we'd like to get feedback on people that were saying add 3%, 5%, and what that change of service was. It was difficult to extract that for you to see it. Mm-hmm. So we can't go in there and show you that many people wanted to add 5% to finance easily, but I'm sure they did. But on page, in your packet, we're going to kind of zip through here. So page 21 through 24 in your packet, what you're seeing there is raw comments from the tool. So we did not alter these. It was people just free-flowing typing in what they think. And you read through that, glean from it what you want, but there are several suggestions of adding new revenues, you'll be able to read through that. So I wanted to point that out because that was probably one of the most informative forms of information coming from the Balancing Act tool was just the memos, or excuse me, was just the comments. When we got to the dot board, we were really filling those boards up. And so once we filled them, we would grab another board. But what we did do, it's hard to see it in your packet, I realize that, but on page 16 of your packet, I think we have summarized the responses from the dots. And so they are up on the top half of page 16, and you see youth activities, communications, community outreach, police, services, public safety. So those are coming from the dots. The bottom half of that board is the online survey. And how you interpret the bottom half, I'm going to talk to just a few of them. So police, they're at the top, and times ranked is 51, and their score is 304. So what? How you interpret that is we had an online survey where people went in and they talked about where do you want to add, where do you want to put money, where do you want to spend money, where do you want revenues to be. And so what they're saying is they could give their top five. So police ranked in the top five 51% of the time. Fire ranked in the top five 46% of the time. And once you're in that top five, on a scale of 1 to 5, you received a score. And so the score of 304 represents in the top five and, you know, with the number one plus number two, whatever that scoring is. And so...
for kind of like rate choice too, so mm-hmm. you get credit for one and two.
One of the challenges that you will go through is to synthesize all this information. So on page 16, you see the top five expenditures priorities are youth services, communications, police, senior activities, human services. When you look at the online survey, police is there, fire, utilities, street surface, sidewalks. So in our memo, I feel like Deputy City Administrator Rachel Bianchi said it real well under the discussion. First sentence, in general, the feedback staff received is as diverse as the community we serve. So you are going to see a lot of that. So I wanted you to see that. And I think that's all I have. We'll take questions.
Okay. Well, through your presentation, you answered a question that I had, which was these two things are different. These are not the same, which is why I was like, why does this say this and this says, like, I don't understand, but they were just different. One was the online, one was the dots. One question I have, is the city utilizing this information right now in the budgeting process? Like, are each of the departments kind of reviewing this? Like, how is this being used by you, or is this just for city council? Like, how are you guys engaging?
I would say, David Klein, city administrator, I would say both. It's informing the current process, and also as we look at this, is the priorities of how we're putting that budget together. So both.
Okay. That's my question. And thank you. Can I say thank you to Connection and Tony for your efforts?
Yes. Sure.
I think this is great, especially in particular, you listen to us the last time around because the feedback, we got it late when we had already like seen the budget and it seemed like it was too late to actually like utilize the feedback that we received from the community. But now, you know, we got this early and then we can all utilize this information when we go into the process. So I really appreciate the efforts that were made, you know, to respond to that feedback. So thank you.
I'm comfortable.
No, I'll do
it. Oh, okay.
Okay. I have three questions. One, from both of you, what's your takeaway from the data that's been pulled together and the information you can pull from it or you can't pull from it? What is your takeaway at this stage?
Let me go first because I can do it easy and then you can think through this. Here's the easy answer. On the takeaways, when you look at the boards, there is a lot of dots on services. People want services. and there's few dots on revenues, on raising taxes. And then when it came to raising taxes, the number one was gambling tax. And then the number two was no raise in tax, even on the tax board. So that is common. Through my conversations with people, especially when we do the Balancing Act, a lot of people felt like they were hesitant to give solid input because they weren't sure what the ramifications were. They didn't understand the process well enough to know if we cut money here, how is that going to affect service down the road? And we would hear responses of, that's one reason why we elect council members to do this work. And that is why the city hires staff to carry out the work. Because I work at Boeing, I know my job. I don't know local government, which is different than private sector. And so they were hesitant to say that, but they also did recognize the challenge. This is really not that easy. And so, Naisha, I'll let you pick it up from there.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. I just want to say that everything that Tony has said, I've been hearing that. They do want to make sure that the city is consistent with its communication and its outreach, making sure that they're looking through an equity lens and just understanding that we have to meet people where they're at. A lot of the residents that I was engaging with, English was a second language or not. They couldn't speak English at all. So having those boards and just those three different languages definitely helped. I feel we're still missing another demographic of folks when it comes to our language boards, but I think we have opportunity in the future to make sure we have it accessible. And then also a lot of residents are just, you know, what is the budget? You know, I want to have more services, but I need to have a deeper dive and engagement on what the budget is and how it's going to specifically impact neighboring neighborhoods in the city of Tukwila. They were very happy to see Tony and I out there in the community and engaging and getting to meet people. And one thing that I really appreciated was the youth involvement. We had young people as young as 5 and 6, where Tony and I would, you know, explain to them how many of you use the internet. They would raise their hands. So we talked about utility tax and, you know, how many of you brush your teeth in the morning so that they can understand it. And they were able to put their sticky dot. So I think that was really effective. It's just making sure we go to the community where they're at and let them provide that feedback. And then lastly is, will my feedback actually make a difference? Will our elected officials really hear what we're saying based off our lived experiences? Thank you.
Second question is, you've already been adapting your process because you picked up early on whether it was you were getting what you wanted. Would you change anything going forward now? I heard a little bit of that, but is there anything significant you would change from right now going forward to your outreach approach?
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, please.
Okay. I would tone down the level of technology that we used. I felt like when we were working with the Balancing Act, it was easy for me, for one, because I use a computer every day, as well as I was involved in this with Joel from day one to architect it, set up the back end. Know your audience is where I'm going. I realize there's a lot of people in Tukwila that don't use a computer every day. And when they do, you know, they're using it at work, but they're not going home. To use, they may not even have a computer at home and they don't miss it. So really just understanding, to be honest, we really did get good feedback from just the simple dots, putting them on there, and you could see it at a glance. It was easy. So simpler is better, I think.
For me, I think starting much sooner. Why do we even need a budget? That was some of the questions that I heard from our community members, because a lot of them are new to the city of Tukwila. They're new residents, and that's a valid question. And another thing that I'm hopeful that could be an opportunity is actually bringing one of our council members out there with us and letting them hear what we're hearing and engaging. A lot of our community members don't know who our elected officials are. Councilmember Quinn, I saw you at the CU in the park, and I introduced you to one of our residents. So that's just another good opportunity so that they can get to know you and see you and build relationships with you and offer more boards in different languages. We do have a huge population from Afghanistan that speak Dari, incoming residents from Ukraine, Nepalese and Burmese. And so just making sure that whatever the outreach purposes are, it is embedded in our outreach services that we are always translating boards or documents into different languages and using plain language, but also visual aids and making sure that we are being inclusive as much as possible. Thank you.
So you bordered on my third question, which is about 8 or 9 years ago, under a different administration, they did outreach, and I went to an event, so did the council member Seal at the time, at Rewa, where they had interpreters, and almost all of the discussion was in their native language, but the, up on the board, everything was in pictures. When they were talking about security, they had cartoon pictures of basically police and a police car, et cetera, and if they were talking about parks, they'd have parks, et cetera. And it was incredibly effective how they responded. This was predominantly women with multiple children with them, and it was amazing to see that exchange happen. I heard you say the word pictures. Have you, I just want to say, benchmark with other similar cities and ask them about effective ways of outreaching to very diverse communities with multiple languages?
I have, Councilmember Krueller. Most recently, I was at the 2022 GARE conference in Portland, Oregon, and that was something that was a key takeaway. Working with the International Rescue Committee, one of my former colleagues from Global to Local, he did share with me when I see him every Wednesday at the farmers market, is that a lot of the community members can't read and write in their own language, so it's really helpful to have that visual. And making sure that those visuals are culturally appropriate so that they're easy to understand.
Thank you. I'm ever impressed by both of you and this effort.
Okay, so I'll make some comments. One, really like the cuts versus revenue and how difficult it is. And to me, it just kind of continues to shine light on the responsibility that the council has in making decisions. I think that the topic that was just brought up was there was a big rush to do transcreation, and then it wasn't culturally appropriate. So really, as that continues to evolve with pictures, which is transcreation, is actually getting it right. Not just doing it to do it, but getting it right. And I think that continues to evolve. I think the other thing that I really appreciate, I don't have any questions, because I think this is also organic and this is like adapting and finding out what works, which is what I appreciate with both of you and the process that we took. And a lot of times folks talk about quantitative versus qualitative. This is like right in between, because you're out there and it's quantitative, but then there's all this other commentary that comes with it. And then the last thing I'll say, I do remember that interaction, and thank you for the introduction. The immediate reaction was like looking at me and saying, there's somebody that looks like me, that is a council. And so that is the benefit of getting kind of being present in that space. So I love what we're doing. I think there were general assumptions, oh, the tool, people that participate are going to manipulate the outcome, and we're all neighbors. We're not going to think alike. And so having multiple tools is powerful. And now it's how we kind of put it all together, how we communicate it out. But trying to simplify it and say only one kind of media is the source is not adapting. So doing the exact opposite of what y'all did, which is, you know, and what comes with that is, you know, kind of louder voices, who come to the meetings and dictate outcomes. But this is really spreading it out and bringing more people to the table. So thank you. Very good, solid discussion, great work. I'm sure there's more work to do. And so thank you. Let's keep going.
Thank you.
All right, we are at the end of our agenda. Miscellaneous.
I'm just gonna verbalize a ever increasing concern. We are on a biennial budget, at which we will probably be solidifying and completing by the end of October. I'm getting nervous that we're not reviewing the mandated parts of the budget yet. I'm getting nervous that the council budget hasn't come before us, which is pretty much a no-brainer because it's small. Anything that's low-hanging fruit that is pretty regulated or nominal or so small, I feel like we should be bits and pieces looking at that so we can concentrate on the heavy load when it comes on things that are large and hard to understand at first pass. And if we did want to make changes to any of them, some room to do that in. So just expressing an ever-mounting concern that we're nearing the end of August. I know this intake's going on, but I think it could be parallel action on certainly regulatory, mandatory, and pretty minimal parts of it.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's good feedback, Finance Director, and if you need some response. You know, I think high level, I think there was a part of it was waiting for more information to come in to see it actually what the challenge is. But good feedback, I think that's what we need to do. But then on our side, we have to balance and being able to delineate this mandatory thing, and that you need to carry that into the next conversation as we talk about real revenue and stuff. So that piece too, like we have an internal responsibility, like, no, this is not separate. This is part of the process. This is what it's for. So good feedback. So we'll love to hear back from Finance.
Yeah. Is this memo that Nice and Tony just went through, is it going to committee of the whole, or when is the rest of the council going to get to see it? Because I think this is important for them to see hear about.
Yes. Let me just try and take a
stab
at that. Yes. I appreciate you bringing that up, because one of the questions was, would you like us to take this to committee of the whole? And then my second question was, do you prefer a different type of presentation or something? So, Naisha, you're here. Are you thinking, obviously not tonight, but next meeting? I mean, I feel like we have the information. We just need to, I'll let you be the boss on that.
I think when I come back from vacation, and Tony, when you come back from vacation, so probably within the next 2 to 3 weeks, we can, Rachel will be back and we'll be back full swing, and we can get something on the calendar for September as soon as possible. Probably mid or end of month. Does that sound doable?
So I think maybe what we'd say is just tentatively a month from today. Right. Committee of the whole would be tonight. So this session next month.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is yes, we will come to committee.
Great.
Unanimous.
Mm-hmm. I'll report out.
Yeah.
I'll report out.
Yeah. Let them know that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aisha.
Thank you all. Have a great night.